Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Face off the Blues zone. The Blues top group out here for almost a minute now. Byron scores with a shot by Peyton Krebs. Slap pass to Krebs at the far post, and it's 1-0 Buffalo.
Buffalo looking to find a way to work it. They do for a 3-on-2 scores. Tage Thompson with a shot from the slot. Near circle, down low, Quinn. Bumper scores! Zucker with a quick catch and release shot. And the Sabres with the power play goal, their second of the game, make it 3-2. Chance here on the counter rush with good numbers. Yuri Kuhl scores! What a goal! Oh, Yuri Kuhl! He snuck that one in when there wasn't a lot of room. Well, the Buffalo Sabres have won three in a row and take a bow. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Welcome in. First show in forever and last one of 2024. Are you ready for it, Marty? Oh my gosh, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Blue Jays hat. I'm wearing my Quebec sweatshirt. I'm like just,
go
I have to
Buffalo.
Do laundry. Came
way
back from
local.
The road, right? I came
you.
Back from the road with you yesterday. I didn't get a lot of laundry done, so I grabbed whatever I could get.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm getting a haircut this afternoon, though, starting the new year in a really, really good way with a clean.
Can we, Jeff, since you went to college for this, can you post on social what people would like to see in the form of a Marty haircut tonight?
Oh, my gosh, please. That may get a little
designs.
Out of hand, but yeah.
Designs. I want artistic designs, my friend.
Should I have like 2024 in one side and 2025 on the other side? Like, you know, like just, you know, like shaved in the side of my head?
Uh-huh. Keep going.
Do it all. I don't even want to think about it. It's not going to happen. You know.
It's really
easy.
You
person.
Get rid of
I'm
it the next
guy.
Day and start fresh. Like, it's
I did
not a big
get,
deal.
When I was a kid, I did get like the steps on the side of the ears, you know, like all you used to get the razor to just come in and the trimmer, like do those steps. Like Patrick Kane had them at one time too. Like I had the mullet and the spiked hair.
Like every teenage
wild.
Hockey player ever.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It looked good, but I'm not that kid anymore. I've changed. I've changed Duffer.
Like, did you change in 2024? Is this a precursor to the change of 25? Where are we going with this?
No, maybe it's been a continuous change that has just been happening now. And, you know.
Well, didn't you used to have like a cinematic poster, The Rise of Marty Baron?
Yeah, The Rise of Marty. That was a Kevin James special here in the studio. Great social media stars.
So the sequel to that now in theaters soon is The Evolution of Marty. And that's what you're getting at here. So what should people look forward to from you in 2025?
Oh, the same, I guess.
I mean, we're on tonight at 7:30 if you want to save it for then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about, like,
probably
I'm not
also
a wild
on at 11:30
child. I'm
really
not going to go crazy.
Then.
I'm not going to, like, start running around. And I'm just going to stay consistent, I guess. That's boring. That's very boring. But that's how I was when I played. I was like, hey, if I can get a 14 save shutout, I like them. Like, it's boring, but it works for me. So what about you, Duffer? What can we expect from Duffer in 2025?
The problem is I am the boring, consistent one, which is why your role has to be different than mine, which I laud and applaud when I see it, right? Like, I want
you to
be
boring and consistent, but somehow people always remember me in situations where I was drunk and wild, and that happens like once a year. But people are like, hey, remember that night on Chippewa? Remember Marty at, you know, we did this? And I'm like, yeah, that was like once in the last 10 years, but that's how people, like, they cling to those moments. Or we go to, like, a road crew party, and like, Marty, remember, like, you were at the bar in Washington after the road crew party? And I'm like, yeah, but that was like the one time that year. Like, it doesn't happen that often.
You are literally this one time at band camp.
Exactly.
Living example, right? But it's usually more than once. Without divulging any names to protect the innocent, where would your wildest, most fun New Year's Eve have happened in your career?
Ooh, wildest, most fun New Year's Eve.
Like, if you're sitting around with the guys, like, quote unquote best friend JP Dumont from last week's episode, and you're reminiscing. Like, what is likely to, oh my gosh, you remember New Year's Eve in blank?
Anaheim.
Really? Okay.
And
I love that.
That was
okay,
with
good.
The Flyers.
You have one. That's okay. Good, right?
But like, it's good because it wasn't me so much that was wild. It's other people around that mm-hmm. got a little crazy. And it was like a call to the trainer at 3 a.m. Hey, you need to come to the room. Somebody had gotten a little bit of a cut and needed some glue to seal that off. But so we played in Vancouver on December 30th. Mm-hmm. And then flew to Anaheim and weren't playing in Anaheim until the 2nd. So on December 31st, it was like, green light, let's go. And we went to Ocean Prime, I think it's called, in Newport yeah. Beach. And yep. had a great dinner, team dinner, went out, had a fun time. And then there was, let's just say, a couple of punches thrown on the dance floor. Was not part of that.
Don't tell me this. I already know this story.
That was the wildest, craziest, like New Year's Eve probably that I've experienced on the road.
Man, there is nothing like the luck of the draw from a schedule itinerary standpoint when you get multiple nights in a great place. We stayed in Vancouver one time for four nights, including after the game that we played. Yeah. We, you know.
So did you go to the Roxy for New Year's Eve that night? Or would that
No, it wasn't a New Year's Eve. This is just in general.
Oh, for staying in general four
this
days.
This is just
yeah.
in general, yes. But
I can tell you, like, New Year's Eve on the road is fun.
Yes.
But there's nothing more fun than the unexpected, oh, we have to stay here tonight. Like, we were in Florida one time.
Well,
and
you had a Nashville one, too, that you've talked about.
Well, a Nashville
often, where
one, but we end up leaving, but just later. But Dominic Hasek took us on Broadway from bar to bar to bar as Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff was chasing us, trying to get us back to the bus. But we were in Florida one time, and after the game, we won. After the game, we get on the bus, we start leaving, and then we turn around, go to the hotel, and they're like, there's something wrong with the plane. Can't fly out tonight. So we're like, well, what do we do now? We ended up finding a Western cowboy type of establishment, country establishment. There was line dancing. There was like that,
Are you good at that?
Oh, I'm so good at it. And I took part of it a little bit, but not because it was line dances I didn't know. But we had one of those moments where, and then every time there's something that happens, players like maybe Jay McKee and others are going to pipe into the group chat and they're going to say, hey, this feels like a broken plane and we got to stay in tonight or whatever kind of situation, because that was the always unexpected, like, oh, got to stay one more night. And then it's, hey, well, we didn't have anything planned tonight, so let's just go have fun. So that's always good. But the Sabres tonight are going to be celebrating New Year's Eve on a plane from Dallas to Colorado. It's going to be a weird situation for them to be like, it's midnight. Hey, okay, let's go.
Well, then they best win. You didn't ask, but I'll tell you anyway. My favorite New Year's on the road was St. Paul. We had a like Hal Gill, Chris Mason, Bagchuk moment. Oh, we were coming from Winnipeg, get into St. Paul. Like, we might have actually missed the technicality of midnight. Like, we probably ran into the hotel at like 11:57. Chuck the bags. It's probably minus 30. Oh, I'm not kidding. Like the next day, there were some really, like, I remember there was like a really bad fire in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And just watching on the news, like as you can imagine, the challenges for firefighters to try to put out a blaze in like that kind of conditions, right? But I remember vividly watching the news, and they had like northern Minnesota wind chill temps in like the range of minus 50 to minus 70 in the state. It was that crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, chucked the bags. We went out. It was one of those, like, it, and I could sit here and identify like a whole bunch of people who I know were there, and everybody had like their moment where it was like, well, that was ridiculous and fun and nothing stupid at all, right? And then there was just like unexpected kind of, because again, there was time off before the next game, and players were just kind of having a night together at the actual hotel. You know, like there was like a like a ballroom or whatever, you know, so they just kind of all stayed in. But it was just, and as you know, St. Paul's like as close to my heart as anywhere on the road. Like it feels like home to me. It's a beautiful spot in the wintertime. It's festive and all that and historic. So yeah, it was great. There's some, you know, for years I thought that I had somehow spilled the 4 a.m. pizza sauce.
Oh no.
On my tie. But it took me a long time to realize that it was actually from the Last Call Bloody Marys.
Oh, well, that happens.
Which did not go over particularly well with the group that I was with. They're like, why would you ever order this?
Bloody Marys, Last Call. That's a veteran move right there. Let's
no, it's
go.
A non-veteran
like, that's
gonna move. Hit. It nobody wanted them, and
I'd be all in for that.
That might be why I wore them, as opposed to you know what
they
I mean.
They showered you with the gravy boat after many goals.
Might have
so
been a self-showering incident. Not sure on that.
Well,
one,
you know what? You talk about, and I know we're gonna talk about the game tonight, but it's because we're
the game gets
mood.
Discussed at 7:30 tonight on like the award on the best and last pregame show of 2024. Like these are the promises we can put out there, not necessarily in that.
Tune in MSG 7:30. Enjoy this New Year's Eve affair. I was reminded today of many, many fun times, especially back at the Odd for Tux and Pucks, which was a like just a staple in Buffalo. New Year's Eve, people showing up in tuxedo and ball gowns, and it was awesome. My very first Tux and Puck stuffer was in 1995 when I got called up as an 18-year-old, right?
Oh
we
gosh.
Played the New York Islanders in Buffalo on New Year's Eve. We lost 5-2. John Blue was in net. But I remember...
Another of your best friends that I learned about from last
week. Yeah, best friend John Blue. He was in net. We lost 5-2 to the Islanders, and it wasn't a particularly good game. I'm looking at the box score right now. Donald Odette scored. Scott Pearson had scored. Charlie Huddy had an assist. Like, we're talking about teams that struggling a little bit back then with injuries, and Patty LaFontaine was out with injury, and it was like, I think he got hurt later that year maybe, but anyway. So we're talking about the last year of the Odd. So we go. My parents come down for New Year's Eve. They drive down from Quebec. They're at the game. After the game, can't find a hotel room for them, right? Like, so I'm like, okay, you guys can stay in my hotel room. I had one big king-size bed. I'm let's go grab a bite to eat. You guys go back to sleep. I'm going to go out with the boys or whatever. So we ended up going to TGI Fridays right there at the corner downtown, like by Chippewa. We go there. They go back to the hotel.
You're 18.
I'm 18. I end up at Kix Nightclub. For those that remember Kix Nightclub in the Radisson Hotel by the airport, that's where the boys would love to go out there, right? It doesn't even exist anymore. The Radisson Hotel is there was a restaurant called Pronzo's there. It was amazing. And then it was Kix Nightclub. It was awesome. End up there with Jason Daw and the group, right? Like Barney and those guys, like just having a good old time. I probably got back home at 5 a.m., and back home, I'm talking the old Adams Mark Hotel, right? And whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, sorry for the words. Jeff, make sure you get the button going. I'm like, I have to sleep now, and my parents are in my bed. So at 5 a.m., I got in. I pushed my parents over. I'm like, I got to go to bed, like hammered, you know, like go. I was 18 years old, so yes. So that's what happens.
Wow, Sabres Live to close 2024, maybe the best first.
This was about as close to locker room talk as you'll ever get from me. Like, you know, when you start telling stories and you feel like you're in a safe environment and the language kind of gets going a little bit, like, oops, made a boo-boo here.
I can't wait for tonight, honestly. This is going to be amazing. How do they, the Sabres, win four in a row for the first time this year?
Yeah.
They've done it on three other occasions when they've had a three-game winning streak. They lost to the Panthers. They lost to Montreal 7-5, which was still hard to believe. And they lost 1-0 to Minnesota. What are you expecting tonight against Dallas, team they beat earlier this year? And how do they win four in a row for the first time?
Well, how they win four in a row for the first time this year is easy for me to sit here and say, this is how you do it. Like, the St. Louis game was not a good game when you look at the numbers. They got outplayed. They got outchanced. You know what? Luukkonen was absolutely fantastic in goal. The Sabres got a power play goal from Tage Thompson, a power play goal from Jason Zucker. It changed, right? You get a call. So, but the key ingredient for me when I look at the Sabres and their success is still, how do you create off the rush? How do you play with such pace that you can create off the rush? I pulled up numbers from the last few games, okay? So let's go back to the game that Lindelof said it was the first game that they felt like, oh, they're playing better. The Boston Bruins game. They lose, well, 3-1 in empty net, 2-1 really. You look at the shot attempts from the slot off the rush, the Sabres had 3. They averaged 7 this year, and they're top 10. And shot attempts from the slot on the rush this year in the NHL. Boston, they only averaged 3. You're not going to, they only had 3. You're not going to score many goals if you only have 3 shot attempts from the slot off the rush. But then you go to the next game against the Islanders.
Can I hit pause?
All of a sudden, say that again.
For 1 sec. Can I hit pause just for one sec? Just to help visualize this for us and our audience. Scoring chances from the slot off the rush. Mm-hmm. When you say that, do you automatically envision those being odd man rushes?
Most of them, yes. Like, okay. If you only
because
get
sometimes
two or three
you
odd man rushes.
On three, yeah. And I don't mean post-regulation three. I mean 3-on-3 in the offensive zone. I'm just curious because I'm trying to, you know, give people, like, a visual to match the numbers that you're talking about. The Sabres are top 10 in this. So when they are going, we're going to see more 3-on-2s and things of that nature. So please.
And Lindy Ruff talked about puck management this morning on WGR when he had his moment. And look, I look at the NHL, the statistic that says giveaways. Giveaways is somebody upstairs that marks down, oh, that's a giveaway, that's a giveaway. The Sabres are 7th. In the NHL, in the least amount of giveaways. So they're not a team that technically, according to the stats, turned the puck over a ton. But we all know by watching the game that that has been a problem. How you turn the puck at your own blue line, you turn the puck in the offensive blue line. And those are the difference between you being able to go on the rush or not. When you turn the puck inside your blue line, that's a rush opportunity you miss. When you turn the puck over inside the offensive zone, that's a rush attempt from the slot that you're going to miss on. So I feel like they go hand in hand. That's the identity of the Sabres. Get scoring, get moving off the rush. So you go from Boston, where there was only 3 shot attempts from the slot off the rush, to the Islanders game, where the Sabres had 6. They had 7 odd man rushes that game, 6 shot attempts from the slot off the rush. But I look at even strength, by the way. We're talking even strength here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, the game was kind of out of control. Like, it was out of reach for the Islanders early in that one. So I'm looking at, okay, you're not taking chances off the rush, but you still got 6. And then Chicago, the Sabres had 16 shot attempts off the rush from the slot. That's the difference. Like, you are at your best when you are going off the rush. St. Louis was the other way. St. Louis, they had 4. So you see, the St. Louis game wasn't a good game offensively. Did you get scoring goals? Yeah, you scored 4. I think Jordan Binnington probably gave up one at least bad goal, maybe a second one to Thompson, although it was a good shot. So for me, if the Sabres can create off the rush against Dallas, then you know that they're going to get their opportunity. If they are stifled in the neutral zone, they keep turning the puck over, then it's very hard to win games when you're got to divert from your identity.
Yeah, the underlying numbers of the St. Louis game are pretty stark in contrast to most games this year from a shot attempt standpoint. Like Buffalo had well under 30% of the entire shot attempts in the game. That is a very, very low number. And the only games that it was actually close to, the rout of the Islanders, which doesn't count because the game is not score effect close, right? Nope. And the rout of the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Again, such a huge lead halfway through the game. The rest of it goes out the window, which is why when 20 years ago this conversation started, you were always hearing 5-on-5 close.
Yeah.
Because it has to matter. It has to be a relevant discussion. The game is tied, or is it one goal either way?
Yes.
That's when you measure the details of the game, right?
Yes.
And so it really stood out to me when I was looking at St. Louis going, holy cow. Like, this was like those blowout games, but and then it, so the trick in all of this is to never overanalyze the wins. You take them and you run, right? And you bank them and you try to ascend. And now they're trying for 4 wins in a row, and it doesn't really matter who you beat. It just happens to be they beat the Islanders, they beat the Hawks, they beat the Blues. And even St. Louis, as much as there's things I like about them, and you and Shana kind of rolled your eyes at me at the start of the year because I was kind of bullish that they could make it, and now I still don't know if I believe myself or not. They have 8 wins, 8 losses under Jim Montgomery.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. They're 8-5-3. Did they get a coach bump? Sure they did. But it's not got them in a position where they're likely.
They got Robert Thomas back too, which makes a big difference, right?
So that might have been the bigger bump.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? All due respect to Monty.
Well, Dallas is a good team. Dallas is a really good team, and the Sabres are playing a really good team in Dallas tonight.
Yes.
Look, is Dallas's record as good as I think that team is? No, they're wild card number one. I think the team is better, but they've had some ups and downs, and that's okay. But if the Sabres, listen, this is the weirdest thing about the standings right now. Sabres and the Red Wings play tonight. If the Sabres and the Red Wings both win, the New York Rangers will be last in the Eastern Conference as the calendar turned to 2025.
Editors, that is how incredible things are. They have 4 wins in 19 games.
Yeah.
The Rangers do.
Yeah. And you watched the game last night. The Rangers, they battled hard. Sergei Bobrovsky was good. They
yes.
tied it at 2. They gave up a goal 3-2. They tied it at 3. If you watched the game last night, you would never have thought that the Rangers have 4 wins in 15 games. And the 11 losses in 19, yeah. They're 4-15. You're right. And they don't have any points in those losses. No.
All regulation.
All regulation loss.
They've gone to overtime once this year.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah. I mean, and you'd think like you'd get to a 1-1 or a 2-2 game at one point because of your goaltending or whatever. But anyway, the Rangers could be last in the Eastern Conference with a Sabres and a Red Wings win. That is something I did not have on my bingo card when it comes to closing 2024.
Yeah. And again, there's no apples to apples in anything really in the NHL. Like, every team has its dynamic, every team has its recent history, every team has its in-season and preseason expectations. The reason we're talking about the Rangers the way we are is how good they were last year. This is unfathomable that they have 4 wins in 19 games and could be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference before the calendar turns. Like, it's mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing. Anyway, there's 13
getting some
games.
Updates for tonight's game, though. Some updates here. Casey DeSmith will be starting in goal tonight against the Buffalo Sabres for Dallas.
I wondered about that. He's 5-2-2 lifetime against Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
The Stars haven't had a back-to-back in like almost a month, and they're not in a back-to-back here for a little while. They're home. I wasn't sure how this was going to play out. I guess maybe because Ottinger lost the earlier game this year, like maybe that's one way of looking at it. But anyway, whatever. Casey DeSmith.
Matt Dumba is back for the first time, so
that's
also
huge.
Something
he's missed
for them.
16 games, and it's lined up almost exactly with the absence of Tyler Seguin, who's gone for the year, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean,
with
he
his
could
hip surgery,
maybe be back long and time.
Crazy thing is, Tyler was having a really good year, you know, again, and like so. The Stars they have a lot of guys who are not at the same offensive level as last year. Jason Robertson is one.
Wyatt Johnston is another.
Stankoven has really disappeared from a goal-scoring stand. And
sophomore slump.
Yeah.
Technically, he's a rookie, but it's his second year because he didn't play the 25 games required, so he's still considered. And he was one of the betting favorites.
He played like 40 NHL games with playoffs last year, but he's still Calder eligible.
But you look at the Calder race this year, it was Celebrini, Michkov, Stankoven, and then now it's Celebrini, Michkov, and that's it, right? Those are the two. Mm-hmm. So anyway, hey, we're getting a lot of really good suggestion for my haircut this afternoon, just so you know. Somebody put, I think it's our good friend in Rochester, I got it right here, but he
analytics?
Put the
James
LGA 585, who does a lot of Rochester Americans highlights or whatever.
Yes.
He put a picture of Lloyd Christmas, which is Jim Carrey, basically getting a haircut with the bowl on top of his head, so it's just like straight across. Did that one time for a Halloween party. I was Lloyd Christmas, and Thomas Vanek was Harry. We had the blue and the orange tuxedo. It was awesome. And there's a mullet that's great. There is, the blue mohawk. There's a lot of good suggestion there. A little wild for me, though. I'll say this.
I hope that the ideas keep coming on social and that our terrific crew can somehow incorporate these images for our MSG viewers as we roll on here on Sabres Live.
Yeah, no, it's great. And also the great Blue Dini Duffer.
Yes.
Always chiming in with a great, great thing. He says, Marty, don't worry about the language. As long as you safely navigate, saying tucks and pucks, and you don't mix anything in there, you'll be fine. So thank you, great Blue Dini. That is fantastic.
Amazing. And we want you to arrive in style, black and red, next time out at home, Washington, January the 6th. So there's a T-shirt and ticket pack, and all you got to do is go to sabres.com/blackandred to purchase yours today. It's a great deal, great shirt. Again, sabres.com/blackandred. Tux, pucks, something else after this on Sabres Live.